My name is Brian. I'm here with my wife, Janet Souder, and we are doing a workshop on raising kids while in ministry. And we did some research. We did some research for this workshop by asking our kids, like, what made a difference. And so I would also introduce our daughter over here, Nicole Souder, who you maybe saw up front as the floor director for the media and staging. And so we've invited her to chip in whenever she feels like she has something to add, or like if she doesn't agree with anything, she's supposed to tell us after the session. No, you can do that as well. But anything you want to add to the introduction? Testing, testing, amen, we are recording.
Yeah, so basically, just kind of the thought for today is that we want it to be encouraging, that it's, I got to thinking, I know I didn't say a whole lot where our kids were, like, growing up, as far as to give a lot of advice on parenting or anything, because I was like, we're kind of in the midst of it. And I realized that our youngest is now 21 and our oldest is 32. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, we could share a little bit about our journey. And also just to encourage you that you hear from God what you're doing. You don't have to be perfect parents. You just have to be, you're present and you love your kids. And so the whole backdrop of this is like to be like your cheerleaders and to be encouraging. And I would love for there to be some kind of, we do have a different things we wrote down, but I'd love for it to be a discussion too. So if you have questions and some time just to be able to, we'll kind of share for a little bit, and then just if there's thoughts that we can kind of unpack together would be awesome.
Yep.
So we, just a little bit about us, we have 5 children. Nicole is our second to oldest, and we felt like God had given us the faith or kind of led us in the direction of public school. So our kids were all in public school. And we had one that went to a Christian university. But but it's the same God, God of faithfulness. And so that's a little bit. We talked to the kids. They gave us some pros and some cons and some things. Yes, we're glad you did this. This could be, help more helpful if you would have done this. And so we'll just kind of go from there.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Nicole, and we have 2 that are still in college. So Stephanie's graduating this year. She's a high school English teacher looking for a job, which shouldn't be a problem. And then we have our youngest, Brianna, is a junior chemical engineer. Then the next one up before Nicole is Sean, married to Andrea Souder. And Andrea's here, and she might be stopping in, I guess, as well. He's a mechanical engineer, and she's a nurse. And so we've encouraged our kids to kind of pursue their dreams and their interest. Nicole works in the technology industry. Our oldest son's a programmer, and and we've been in ministry for too many to count, 40 years. How long? Basically, from the beginning of Dove, I guess.
From the beginning of when we
essentially.
Both as singles, and then also ever since we've been married. So that's what made me realize, like, oh, yeah, I guess we did raise our kids in ministry because that's what we were doing.
Because we were always involved in ministry, like as singles, and then as a married couple, and after 1 child, 2 child, 3, we just just kind of kept going, and we're thankful to God for all that. So I have a couple scriptures here in the beginning. I just wanted to share, maybe familiar with you or not, but we felt like these two especially were important. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." And, some translations actually say, I think it's the King James says, "Train up a child," or maybe it's the NIV, it says, "according to their bent." So it's actually the way they should go. So that's a pretty key thing for us from the beginning, was train up them in the way they should go, what God put in them, not necessarily what our expectations for them were. And, you know, and it follows through, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So we'll elaborate on that a little bit here. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And obviously we believe that that's true. And we are always have seen ourselves as stewards of, you know, a gift. Our children are gifts to us, and then we're stewards of them. And so they're really the Lord's. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I have.
As far as that's concerned. So, yeah, that's the two scriptures we wanted to start off with.
And this second scripture, children are a gift from the Lord, is kind of really special to me, as my grandma was probably one of those things that I really received from her whenever she would see the children or see, like, even as a grandchild, I never felt like I was a bother to her, never felt like we were too noisy, never felt like, you know, we ate too much food, and, you know, it was always like she was just always happy to see you. It didn't matter if there was a baby crying or whatever, because she would say, oh, aren't children just such a blessing? And it was like, that, you know, that's huge to hear someone reaffirm that to you. So as we were kind of preparing, we kind of were going over like some of the, just back and forth with some ideas of things that we said, you know what, these are kind of like parenting principles that we didn't know we really had. But so we'll just have put some of them.
Go ahead.
Our goal is not to get them into ministry, but our desire is for each of them to have a personal relationship with God. And so it didn't matter if they were 2 or 7 or 12, that was our prayer, was that they would have a personal relationship. They would have a 3-year-old relationship with God. They would have like something that was meaningful to them. And so, of course, as they got older, you know, wanting them to like grow in that. But, you know, when they're little, it's very simple, you know. When they got older, they had to, sometimes you kind of like re-dissect some of that and kind of figure out like what that meant to them as a teenager or as an adult. We had let them know that the call to ministry is not more important than a call to business or the marketplace. And I think that speaks for, you know, like.
I have an example there.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Harold Eberly talks about this where, like, if we put pressure on our children to be involved in ministry or have that expectation on them, then it's hard for us, if they don't go into ministry, it's hard for us not to feel like we kind of create a wall of separation. It's hard for us to emotionally connect with them because internally we're all really disappointed in them, because we had this expectation that they're going to be pastors or pastors' wives or whatnot, or sing, or, you know, and so forth. So what can happen is it can create an emotional distance between you and your children. Or sometimes, like, someone might go to Bible college and want to be in the ministry, and then they start having kids and realize they have to pay the bills. And they kind of see their children as something that's hindering them from going into ministry. So they're working as a plumber and they always feel like, oh, they're always disappointed. And then again, it kind of causes the parent to close their heart towards their children because they've had that expectation that, you know, and that's not true. We know that's not true. And that's what Janet was saying here, is that.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So I'll just repeat that for the recording. Yeah, Nicole was just saying that there's also the child feels that expectation, and it becomes a burden, I guess you would say, to them, and they would feel that separation, like, oh, this is, you know, raising kids is now less than best than if I was a missionary in Botswana or, you know, whatnot. So back to our principles here.
And just again to reiterate that we are talking from like our personal experience, and so you can pick our brains. This is one case study. So we want to train them to be full-time ministers in whatever field they're passionate about. So whether, you know, one of them is an English teacher or one of them is leading young adults or whatever it is, that they are a full-time minister. So their character goes with them no matter where. Where it is like Nicole was working in Subway when she was a teenager, and so it's like the character, the responsibility, the integrity, that goes with them wherever they are. So they're a full-time minister. Doesn't have to be in the church, but it's like it's because Jesus lives in them. This is one that I kind of my prayer was that I would be salt to the kids, that I would be salty, that I would make them hunger and want God, and not to, like, a little salt, I think it even says it in the Bible, is good, makes you thirsty. But if you get smothered in salt, it's not favorable. So a little salt on your meat or a little salt tastes good. It makes you want more. But if it's too salty, you're like, you reject it. And so that was my, I was like, God, let me be salt. You know, let me be a carrot to the horse, you know, type of thing. Like you would, they would want more. And I think that was a little bit my parents. My parents love God, but they really kind of left and gave the blessing to kind of finding my own path and encouraged in the things. But I felt very much like it was self-driven. And then it was like it could be directed. So I wanted the, my heart was like, I got excited when they wanted to do something versus kind of pushing. Encourage them to be leaders. And this is one, this could be probably under a pro, but it's, what's right here is ministry relationships become family friends. And that's so true. It's like our friends, ministry relations, people that you're doing life with, people that you're doing projects with, whatever, they become family friends. And so then it's not just you being salt and light to your kids, but it's also your friends being salt and light to them.
And I think just to add to that, like it lends reality to them. If our children see that our coworkers are just real people, like they're not always behind a podium or on stage, and they see us laughing around the campfire. And then, you know, for us in this international Dove setting, like it was like Larry and Laverne and Steve and Mary Prokopchak, they would intentionally reach out to our children and include them in stuff and just make a special point to. And so if you take that into your setting, whether you're a group of elders and you have ministry relationships, and there's always risk because not everybody works together forever in the same ministry. So you have that risk of disappointment. But at the same time, if those that are your peers, they have authentic Christianity, which probably looks a little differently than you. And so your children might connect maybe on with them on a certain element of Christianity more so than they do on you. And that's a win then. So,
also with like a healthy perspective of leadership and leadership.
Okay, good. So Nicole was just saying about like if they see healthy leadership within the church setting, they, it also gives them a healthy sense of leadership, whatever. Like, so, you know, whether Nicole's leader in her campus ministry when she's in college, or our youngest Brianna was the drum major in the marching band, and different, you know, captains or whatever of their teams and so forth. So we did encourage them to be leaders, and they all have different gifting as far as leadership is concerned, but they saw healthy models of leadership. And I remember one time Brianna was, when she's the drum major, like she's in charge of like the whole band, and there's these different, you know, squabbles going on, you know, high school girl drama, you know, in the marching band, and this is going on and that's going on, and we're talking about this, and she's like, well, that's not right then, you know. And I'm like, yeah, it's just fields of ministry, Brianna. And she is, you know, you just got to separate them out, and this person is wrong to go over in this, you know, the flute, the leader of the flutes can't go over until start telling the trumpets what to do. And she's like, yeah, anyway, you know. So she goes back and because she has leadership training and so forth. I guess I'm on here, aren't yeah. I? Okay, so we ask our children, what are the pros or the perks of kids with parents in ministry? So one was traveling with dad and mom in ministry, local and overseas. So I would go maybe speak at other churches. My kids would go along. They never wanted to go in that Sunday school. So they would just, you know, be with us. And then
some
we'd.
Did.
Okay, yeah.
Stephanie did. And she would always be like, yeah, and they invited me back. You know, I was like, okay, well, that's an hour and a half away, so probably that's not going to happen. But
yeah, now she's a teacher, right? Or if you're doing, you know, like you have a mission trip from your church, you know, as a ministry leader, you might take the children along and so forth. And that's very valuable. I think a number of our kids said that. That was very valuable in a lot of ways because they experienced different cultures and so forth.
And that could, like, translate into, like, if it's a job, taking a kid along out on the job site. So, I mean, this just happens to be Brian's job,
right.
But...
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that have been truck drivers or, you know, servicemen or whatever. And, you know, there's, if it's possible, taking your child along on those opportunities are just huge, because it's like life in being in front of you.
The kids like being in the know with behind-the-scenes information, like the secret information about, like, why we're doing this sermon series. It's because, you know, you know, a bunch of people are struggling. You know what I mean? They kind of like that, and you always had to guard that a little bit because we're always careful, too. They probably overheard anyway. But, you know, some things we would certainly try to discuss privately. But you know, when they ask questions about, hey, what's going on with so-and-so? I haven't seen them in church for a while, or you know, whatever it is, then we're saying, well, they stopped coming, or they went to a different church, or they're struggling, or what. So we tried to, they enjoyed that. They liked our coworkers, I already mentioned that, our coworkers, and knew they were real from the interactions that they saw. They liked that they did not have a Christian bubble, and that their whole life wasn't wrapped up in everything Christian. I think, did you mention, like, we always encourage the, like, public school, and we were not homeschoolers, even everybody thought we were. But in any case, we didn't. We were involved in public school. So you have something here, the three circles.
Yeah, example. So we were asking the kids a little bit. And part of that, too, was, first of all, what God gave us personal faith for and what we had a heart for to do. But Brian traveled a lot. Now, I mean, every situation is different in ministry, but he traveled a lot. And so I was not wired to be home all the time. So that would have been, I mean, like if I stayed home for a day, all day, the next day we definitely did something additional. But so our families, we've been blessed with both of our families are Christian. And then Brian worked with Christians. And so going to public school was one way to kind of have another sphere that is not just in, you know, in a Christian bubble. So we were asking the kids, and I asked our son, Sean, I said, so, you know, we asked him for some advice for this. And he goes, well, Mom, you explained to me one time. I totally don't remember this, but I was like, wow, I think you have a wise mom. But anyway.
You must have said this because he says you said it.
He said there's like three circles. And he said, at least one of them should be non-Christian. And I'm like, oh. And it was like for him, you know, he related to it was church, family, and school. And so by having our family Christian and our church and like Brian's coworkers all Christian, school was a good outlet for him, but it was also a good outlet for us to be involved in too and to support the kids and kind of work through things there. We also had sports teams and that kind of thing. So that was his takeaway from something his mom said years ago.
That she forgot, she said. Okay.
Yeah.
Another pro that our children responded back to us is they enjoy discussing culture, movies, critical thinking on current events, things that are happening in the news or things that were happening at school, and they just enjoyed that. So it was pretty common for us, like, you know, when we're done eating dinner, like, we didn't always have dinner together, but we were committed to have dinner together, but that meant it could be between 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock, like, because we had practices and, you know, this sports and that activity and whatnot. So we tried to get everybody in the same room there for some time so we could have dinner together. That was more important than eating every night at 5 o'clock, you know, for us, was get everybody together. And then so we would just, you know, kind of sit and yak, you know, let the dishes on the table and just kind of talk about this and that and, you know, oh, this happened in school. And then just, you know, sometimes we had the ability to bring a scripture to bear on that. We weren't trying to sermonize, but like, oh, yeah, well, that person, they're probably very insecure because they don't know God, and that's why that behavior is exhibited in that setting. So we had a lot of those kind of processing, and we weren't, of course, you know, I'm an engineer too, and we have three engineers between our family so far. And so we're not afraid of learning, and we're not afraid of, you know, high achievement. And that's not a paradox with faith. Like, to me, the two come together very well and so forth. So the last thing I'll just say is, and Nicole already mentioned this, a pro was, and she said it herself, them seeing good, healthy leadership models help them with business and career. So I'll let you speak for yourself, you know, but like Nicole has a great job and has, leading a team, helping companies, works for a company that helps companies set up all of their information management and is just, you know, knocking it out of the park as a young woman business person. And yeah, like maybe you want to just say something about that. So, yeah, for those listening by audio, Nicole Sauter kind of elaborated on that idea of seeing healthy leadership models within Dove growing up, coming along to settings where we were meeting people and ministering and pulling information out of people, learning about them, what to value. That really helped her in her career now today. I'm just kind of cliff noting that, abridging that a little bit. So I'll just stop that up there. And now we'll let Janet talk about the cons. That was the pros. Now this is the cons of our children who are being raised while in ministry.
So Nicole mentioned too, one of the things is like allowing them to talk or, you know, new ideas, and sometimes they didn't agree with our ideas. And I remember a conversation having with one of the kids, and the question was, so what is the likelihood of that you and Dad know all the right answers? And I was just like, well, I don't see any problem with that. I mean, I was joking with them. And I was like, you know what? That's really good, because you think about, like, you know, we don't look like totally cookie cutter models of our parents, but we have, so it's like our relationship with God, there's similarities, but there's also differences. And so at the same time, we can expect that from our kids. It's like you kind of go to the important thing is like, I want them to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It doesn't have to look exactly like my relationship does. Mm-hmm. So some of the cons are very practical. It's being the first one and the last one to a church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like,
don't like that.
That was definitely one of the cons. And so knowing that, it's like kind of thinking creative sometimes, like, what does that mean? Now, they're telling us, like, years later. So some of the time, though, was, I would admit that that was a part for me to catch up with people. I also know that sometimes when Brian would be away, we would stop at this one pizza shop and we would take pizza and take a couple extra friends home. So then they had friends till the very end. And then we would come home and we'd have friends and pizza and carrots and dip and chips for lunch. And that seemed to be kind of appease that a little bit, you know, having to stay till the end. But that was definitely one of the cons that they mentioned. Expectation of ministers' children. And this was an interesting one. They said, they didn't necessarily, at least one or two of the kids said this, they didn't necessarily feel the expectation from other people, but it was a self-imposed expectation on themselves. Like they knew,
had to be a model.
Yeah, they felt like they were holding themselves to a standard of what they should look like and what they should do. And maybe there was times like if they had a bad week, they felt like they should kind of push that down and they felt like they put that expectation on themselves.
I would say, like, to put it very, very bluntly, like, your ministry kids are, like, some of your best actors if they need to be.
And some of the kids can be actors where they're not being real. They're just kind of... The other one that mentioned was that everyone knows you, but you don't know them. So it's easy for people to know, oh, those are so-and-so's children. You know, and then people, you know, if Brian uses illustrations in a sermon or, you know, they see you sitting together, people start becoming familiar with your kids, and they think they know your kids, but your kids don't know them, and it can be a little awkward. So that's where sometimes some people think that they, because they know you, they have the right to go up and, you know, chat with your kids and ask them, you know, and it's like they haven't built that trust or that introduction. So that was a con that it was like kind of just to be aware of. In some ways, give your kids permission that they don't have to be like, not everybody has the, needs to be that personal with them.
Right, yeah. Because people in the church acted like they knew them, but it was only because they were we were in ministry. And so, like Stephanie said one time, like, or she said, she would only introduce herself by her first name. She would never say her last name. And, you know, that was good because she really wanted her own identity separate from us, which is 100% important.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Some of the goals.
Where are we at here? Goals, yes. Okay, so goals. Again, this is, you know, we really encourage you to be in faith for what God is telling you to do and do it in faith because we don't believe there's one perfect parenting style necessarily, but it's all about obedience and being sensitive to your children. Because our kids were a lot in the church world, we encouraged them when they got jobs, like to be in a non-Christian atmosphere, or just, I say non-Christian, just a non-church atmosphere and so forth.
It's not that it's wrong to, you know, use your connections and have them be in a, but at the same time, I mean, we say that there's no junior Holy Spirit, and so to know that God is looking out for them, you know, even if they're in a, I mean, Nicole started working for Subway, and she was just in high school, and she would be, like, opening and closing. And it was, sometimes it's a little scary as parents, too, because, you know, it's like it's stretching. It's like, can I trust, you know, what's my trust level? And so that's, it's an interesting, it can be an interesting journey for parents too. And it's not wrong if they're working for a Christian, but it doesn't guarantee that they won't have to work through some garbage at a Christian place any more than they're protected at a Christian place.
Yeah, okay. We try to not focus on the sacrifices of ministry and really walk in faith. So we didn't try to point out like, oh, it's because we're in ministry, that's why you kids are there till 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, or I'm, you know, dad's away on another trip and we're all here alone, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we tried not to lament or, you know, what would be, you know, or focus on the sacrifices that we were making or our family was making, but we tried to just really do that, be in faith about all of that. And we really encouraged reality, like time to vacation and be real. Of course, everybody goes on vacations, but we tried to have joy and laughter. And one time, I'll tell you a real practical story. So we were visiting our friends. Steve and Mary Prokopchak had a cabin up at out near Pittsburgh. So there, we were going to the cabin, and literally, the road that goes up to the cabin is Double Dam Road. Okay, so we're going up here, and you know, so our kids start talking. We start talking. Well, here's the damn road. Yeah, it's the damn road, you know. So, okay, well, that must be the damn tree beside the damn road. And then, you know, we're just, like, going all the way up through the mountains here, damning everything, you know. Calling. Well, that, yeah, there's the damn sign on the damn road, and, you know, and just, like, just hilarious, the whole thing, scenario. Just, and then for years, probably months and years afterwards, we're like, yeah, remember Steve's damn road that we get to when we get to Steve's damn cabin at the damn road? Anyway, so we just tried to have a levity and, you know, and just a natural joy.
There really was a dam somewhere.
Yeah, I think there was a dam there, yeah, too.
Yeah.
So have fun. We would, you know, try to go. We'd do some fun stuff with movies. Like, we, when Lord of the Rings was coming out and a couple other ones, like, we would go to the midnight show. Like, not always Janet, but, like, I mean, our kids are getting up for school and going to school, and we're going to the midnight premiere of Lord of the Rings at, like, 12:01. So that goes till 3 o'clock. Then we're going, you know, we eat popcorn. We get home at 3:30, and they're off to school at 7:30. So we tried to do things. Ron Meyer talks a lot about this, make memories with your children. So, you know, cultural things like that, as well as, you know, some other movies we went to just because, anyway, it seemed like a good idea at the time until the next morning. We would do, you know, we would play Rock Band, get in our kids' games, and Just Dance, which is Just Dance is Nintendo.
Wii.
No, it's not a Wii. It's no. Just Dance is Wii. So we're not like that. You know, it's all, it's like basically you follow the dancers on the screen and you're trying to catch up and, you know, songs you never heard before. But our kids all knew the song. So we would do this for hours, you know, and then break out. And, you know, we're all sweaty after hours of doing this. What's that? Yeah, we still do. Yeah, we just did it here.
Yeah,
at Christmas.
I beat Brian the last time.
Yeah, yeah. She's. She got the best dance award.
Insert something there with that. Like, it's fun, it's memories, but, like, it's a vision of your parents being silly with you. And I think that's, like, really important because there's so many serious moments in ministry. So, like, when we go to, like, a wedding, these guys are out on the dance floor with us in the reception, like, dancing. And, like, it's just, like, it's fun. It's there. It's these guys are going to let loose. And I think that's really important to, like, take the pressure off the kids, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so just to wrap that up again for the audio, Nicole's just talking about being silly and having fun together. And one of the things that we found as our children, they weren't too big into the high school dances, but as they got older, we have found that this generation loves to dance for fun, like just dance, like for fun, to music. Like, and so we're, after a while, we're like, you know, we can do that, you know, and so forth. And so kind of pushed ourselves out on the dance floor, and now it looks like we can do partially anyway.
Yeah, we at least try to fake it.
Yeah, we're all freestyle. We don't do any of the, you know, the rumba or any of that stuff, you know.
I would say too, like with the movies, I learned, like, probably the rest of the family likes different types of movies than I do. So if we're all watching, we usually end up, it's kind of like they know it's a matter of trying to, the most challenging is to get one that mom likes, because mom likes kind of something based on a true story or something like that, which they all say is sad. But what I've learned is that they like something with a little more drama. But I've heard them, like, afterwards, they will totally, like, talk through it, you know, and talk about the cinematology and
cinematography yeah.
And, like, you know, the casting and the writing. And, you know, well, that was really well written. I have a kind of a geeky, kind of nerdy family, you know. But anyway, you know, they'll talk about the writing, or that was really written well, but it was really casted poorly, you know, or that started off slow, or that just really dropped, you know. And it's just like, I realized there's a lot more ways to watch a movie, and a lot more, you know, and it's kind of a learning thing versus just sitting there looking at the storyline. And so that was something that our kids really, Brian, mm-hmm. You know, there's other things that we don't do well. We don't do a lot of that. Other families do much better. If we play a game together, everybody gets quiet and kind of competitive and kind of like
it's
too serious
to kill for to win this game of Monopoly or whatever it is, you know. Yeah. So I'm going to keep. I'm just going to run through a bunch of these because we're getting, you know, want to make sure we have time for questions here. We encourage our children to have their closest friends should be Christians. And, I mean, we did that verbally a little bit, but we did as much to shepherd that. So if our kids never seem to have a desire to get involved in the Bible clubs at school, but we always encourage them to get involved in their youth groups and be a part of, so that their closest friends over time were always other young Christians. And they were all, and we were youth pastors too for a while, but what we found is when they self-regulate each other when they have peers that love the Lord. And if we can get those closest relationships to be others that are in love with the Lord, then we got gold. Like it was talking about gold up there. We have a gold youth group, or we have a gold situation for our kids. So we would make sure they go into retreats and so forth, and we would make sure we were in a church where there's a good youth group. We talk about stuff. We expose them to culture and you know, discuss Star Wars and Terminator and all that crazy stuff. We teach personal responsibility in their schoolwork, and so we would encourage them to, you know, do their course selection. We would try and delegate as much as give them responsibility. I know at a certain age, I'll let you tell about the in-house tutorial. No.
Yeah. So, kind of sharing the responsibility. I had this little saying that, you know, first comes responsibility, and forget what it was exactly, and then eventually, you know, it's kind of follow through, and then comes the privileges. So there's things they have to do just because, you know, to be responsible little kids, big kids, adults. But so we got to a point, I went back to work when our youngest was 3. And at that point, I realized, like, you know, something simple as laundry with 7 of us in the house can take me quite a bit to get caught up on. And I actually enjoy doing laundry. It's one of the, you know, those tasks, if you separate them out, it's probably one of my favorite ones because you kind of have like a nice, neat pile of laundry. But I was like, okay, this is something I can give to them. And so after school left out that summer, we had an in-service. And an in-service type of thing is you have some donuts or orange juice or something. And so I got donuts and orange juice, and we had an in-service. So we all ate our donuts and orange juice. And then we had a tutorial on how to operate the washing machine and the dryer. And I think the first year that we even did that, our dryer quit. And so they had to actually hang out their laundry for a little while. But it was really good. And then at that point, it was like, you know what? This is now your responsibility. If you get in a pinch, you can ask me, I'll help you, but it's not you helping me, it's I'm helping you. So if your jersey's not ready for your, you know, soccer game or whatever it was, you know, you can't come back and tell me, Mom, you didn't wash my jersey. It's like, no, you know, you didn't wash it. And so there was times that they were going to bed and it was still in the washing machine, and they were like, hey, Mom, are you going to be up for a little while? Can you hang it up so it dries till morning? And I'm like, sure. So it was a switch to them doing it. So look for those. It was great. Look for those opportunities where they can be responsible for something. The other one that was kind of a spare moment thing, and I don't know how this relates to other cultures, but when they were home over the summertime, the school breaks, they would often be asking me, like, when's lunch? When's lunch? You know, what are we having for lunch? And I'd be in the middle of doing something, and finally I was like, you know what? There was 4 of them that were at least 6 and up, and I was like, you know what? Each of you are going to get a day, and I'm going to take a day. That'll be 5 of us, and we're going to make lunch. And you can make whatever you want for lunch. If you want something special, just let me know, and I'll buy it. And so we each took a day, and it was, like, so nice because after that, they would call everybody to the table when lunch was ready. And I only had one day to think through. And sometimes, you know, We had to stretch the menu a little bit. I think Stephanie was quite small, and she made like a half a sandwich for 5 of us. You know, it was like this big, and we cut it in like teeny pieces. And then I'm like, and then another time, I mistakenly bought some sandwiches, and I said, "Oh, we can have them for lunch." And I totally offended whoever it was that was having lunch that day because it was their day, and I bought the sandwiches. And I'm like, "Well, you don't have to use them." You know, I'm not trying to backpedal, but they loved having responsibility. They love picking the menu. So those were, and it was a huge, 2 things that were a huge saver for me. And I know some people have said already that they would do small loads of laundry. No. They waited till they had a full load, you know. So yeah. It worked out. But they were definitely good ways of, like, little, you know, passing on responsibility.
And then that applied as they got older and made bigger decisions about courses, college selection. It was their responsibility. We helped them. We went on the visits with them and pointed out this would be good because of that and whatnot. So personal responsibility. We encourage them to have missions trips or missions experience without us along. That was their experience.
And that was actually the
openness and communication.
That was actually them driven. I had this idea that our family could go on a mission trip, and it was like
a family mission trip.
It was a little revolt. They were like, "No, I want to go on it, but not with my family, and not with my parents." And it was like, "Oh, okay. I guess that idea is not going to fly." And that was okay. You know, I think they all had a good time doing it.
So we encouraged openness and communication. We removed expectations of perfection. We already mentioned that. We wanted to make space for them to be themselves. So that was in a lot of ways. And, yeah, we didn't like every video game they brought home, but it somehow was tied up in their identity as long as it wasn't, you know, weird or too weird or graphic or whatever. But we wanted to try and create that space so that God could speak to them and you know, and so forth. Let's go on to lies. Yeah, let's have Janet
do
that.
If you know our family, you know we've also had a journey. It's not been like everybody has just been like, yes, Jesus is Lord of my life type of thing. But a lie that I think is a good one for to remember is that you don't take credit when your kids turn out well. You say, like, it's the grace of God. You know, there's things that happen. And then also, if your kids make decisions that are not, don't beat yourself up. You know, it's adult kids not serving God, not serving the Lord, disqualifies you from ministry.
This is a lie. You're saying, yeah.
Because if you say that I will not serve God in ministry, I will not serve in ministry, I will not serve in leadership anywhere unless all my children are serving God, what does it do? It puts a target on your kid's back for somebody to be taken out. And then that disqualifies you. And so that's not what the scripture says. And so be careful not to speak things that put targets on your kids.
Like we would have sometimes end up pastors, their teenage children or children were struggling. And, you know, they were kind of feeling like, oh, should I resign from the ministry because my child is struggling in their faith? And we realized, like, no, at a certain age, they're responsible for themselves. And also by putting that requirement on, it actually created a target, like Janet said, on the kids' back so that they would actually be targeted by the enemy for, you know, havoc or whatnot. So that was very helpful.
I don't know, you wrote this as a truth. You will disappoint your children, but God never will. And that's true. I mean, like, we do our best. We have 5 children, so we told them, you know, look, we do our best to try not to forget anybody. But if we don't show up, call, because we may not be coming. We may have forgotten you. And so that has happened. But God never will forget you, you know. So and I think I already said that. It's not your fault when your kids go through a rough time. We have tried to walk through some rough times. Our children have been in sports, and my personal opinion is I love sports, but they have more than their share of opportunity to grow. And so there's been times we have cried with our kids. We have, you know, rejoiced with them. We cheered them on. We have asked them, like, you know, when they've been in situations like, you know, do you want us to step in and help? You know, do you want us to go to like the coach or the somebody, an adult, and appeal with you? And sometimes they have said yes, and sometimes they've said no. But we have, yeah, they can be tough times. And just to kind of know that, you know, we also feel the pain with that.
Yeah, like even, you know, experiencing grief or loss as a family, like just be transparent about that. Like, a number of years ago now, but Janet, we had a miscarriage, and so we kind of walked through that as a family. Like, we were crying, we're sad, and we, you know, went through that experience as a family, and we processed and they helped them process and so forth.
We should probably keep going here and
Go
to questions, maybe.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's just stop right there. I have some truths, which I think we already covered you're not perfect parents. I think we pretty much covered everything here. Let's just open up to, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you have something else?
Yeah, I would just say one thing, too. That God's given you grace for what he's put on your heart to do with your kids. And Brian traveled quite a bit when the kids were growing up. And I had a mom tell me one time that she could never do what I do. And I was like, well, I can never do what you do. And I realized, like, God's given us the grace. There's no shortcuts to hearing what God's told you to do. And so that's where it's like, make sure you're living off of your revelation and not somebody else's. Don't borrow, like, oh, because so-and-so does this, then we need to do that with our children. And it's like, that'll be like a heavy blanket right from the get-go. But make sure you're hearing God, because then there's the grace. It's not always, there's good and bad situations. No, there's no path that says, oh, we can do all this stuff and we will have smooth sailing. You know, there could be some storms along the way, but you can go through them when you know you're right where you're supposed to be. So anybody have any questions or want to talk about, like, yeah.
Sure.
Or they're sick or something, and we can't cancel youth group because they've got a fever. So how do you guys communicate with each other and with other people on how, like, sometimes you have to pick not only yourselves, but, like, coming out here and feeding yourselves, and it's not picking – it's not that you're not picking your kids. It's that you're doing what's
on your best. I'll answer
this one. Like, how okay. Do you
Yeah, so we have the question here about how would we handle situations where younger children, younger than youth group, and yet here a couple is youth pastors, so how does that work when they're away, like coming to a conference like this? It seems like a sacrifice, right, to do that. You have babysitters, probably parents or somebody taking care of the kids. And then what does that look like even on a youth group night when the kids are sick or whatnot? So is that the core of your question?
Yeah.
We tried to approach that like as a team. So, you have something to say?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay. So one of the things that you probably have heard is like God first, then it's your spouse, and then it's your job or your family. And we kind of said, like, you know what? It's God, 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 God. You know,
very helpful.
And because sometimes you do get babysitters. Sometimes you stay home. Sometimes, you know, if we're going on a mission trip, you know, we have had the children at home. And that was freeing because early on, I remember a retreat we were going to go on. And this is kind of a personal thing, but anyway, it was just like we were going on the retreat and we had small kids at the time. I think we had three, and we had lined up sitters. And at the very last minute, one of the families, couples pulled out because they said they felt like they needed to stay home with their family. And I was just like, well, great. Now we can't do what we were supposed to do. Does God love their children more than our children? Because now we have sitters and we're sacrificing time from our family, you know, and they're, because they have to be with their family, they I guess felt like they were too busy and need to be time with their kids. And it was just one of like, you know what? No, it's God, God, God. And sometimes it does sound harsh, you know. There are sometimes you stay home with a sick child. Sometimes if you have somebody to take care of them. So I think that was kind of our premises, is like knowing ahead of time, even like what are the things that we do together. And sometimes we were on different pages and we kind of had to work through getting to that point. Like we kind of worked with the youth second time around when our kids were that age and we had some younger ones yet. And I was like, well, if we're going to do it, we have to bring our younger children. And but then there were some things that we got babysitters for them so that they didn't have all this the fun things already experienced when they were, you know, 8 and they had to wait till they were like 12 or 13. But then there's, so it's kind of getting on the same page, the two of us, And then also knowing ahead of time, like I knew that to come to Sandy Cove was one thing that I was always going to do. And so that was like one of the trips that I would get babysitters for. I would come to the leadership meeting and down here for the conference. And so we did all a variation of things to make that happen. And sometimes as a mom, it stretched me to do that, but that was a priority. There would have been other things, like I didn't travel with Brian all the time. I usually was home with the kids. So kind of knowing, like, what are those things that we didn't have to pray about it every spring. Am I going to go to Sandy Cove or not? That was kind of a given.
We're going
to
do that.
That I'm going to do that.
We had a sense of synergy, like, and that's a little bit of our backdrop for the whole session is, like, if God has called you to lead in ministry or elders or youth group, and he's called you to parent both, also to parent, it can be a win-win because it's what God's called you to do. So we have that sense of synergy. Like, God had win-win long before, was it Stephen Covey, who wrote the 7 Habits of Successful People? No, it was his idea first. But when we found that when people tried to prioritize, like that couple that said, oh, we are not going along to this event because we want to spend time with our family, they were saying, well, they just kind of, they're doing this very Western, like, God first, spouse second, then, you know, all these, this kind of thing, versus a synergistic approach where, okay, we're called to youth ministry, so we're going to go to the conference, we're going to get training, we're going to go in that youth ministry, and that God's big enough to take care of our kids. And, you know, we've talked different times about sacrifice. Like we said, we try to minimize the sacrifice. Janet said already one time, well, if you were in the Navy, you'd be gone for 6 months, not, 6 days. Like, if, you know, there's other jobs that there's bigger sacrifices. So let's not belabor the point that you're gone for 6 days or 7 days because, you know, that's not, you know, a big sacrifice compared to the military families that they make and move every 2 or 3 years on top of that. And yet somehow those kids turn out well and, you know, and so forth. So.
And I read some Ruth Graham books over that time, too, that, you know, with Billy Graham, when he would do his crusades, he'd be gone a couple months. So I was like, oh, okay, this is like no yeah. No place for complaining here. But, that was – she was a spunky. She was like – she was a great role model. So and she didn't complain about it. The children would say, like, you know, mom would go off, you know, after dad left, you know, she might – they never saw tears. They never saw her lamenting. If she did, she did in private. So one of the things that we asked a couple of our kids if they remember dad traveling a lot, because he traveled quite a bit. He was often gone like 2 weekends a month. And and they were like, no, I don't really remember that. And I'm like, you don't remember that. You don't remember all the times I took you to church without dad, you know.
You remember that. And Brianna does too.
And then our younger said, well, she remembers more too, because it was maybe a different season in life, you know. So anyhow, it was kind of like.
Yeah. I think it helps. Like, it makes, like, I feel more well-rounded because I stay with my grandparents different times, and I stay with friends different times, and I had our babysitters, and I went along sometimes, and I knew you guys were at ILC, but I wasn't there, but I knew who you were with. Like, it made my world even bigger. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is true.
Let's repeat Nicole here.
I did all this other cool stuff because, like, there was no wall there. I wasn't afraid to go off and do stuff by myself because, like, that was the example I had and I was doing it at any age.
So Nicole was just saying, for the sake of the audio tape, that
her world was bigger.
Yeah, it made her world bigger knowing that we were out getting training or that she was at her grandma and grandpa's. She bonded with them, hopefully, and... Or she got together with friends and went to a sleepover with one of her friends. It made her world bigger knowing, just being a part of that, that we had a bigger call as a family. And we always, for better or for worse, mostly for better, we always felt like God called us, so, and all of our children are with us. So until they get to 17, 18, when they're choosing college or career, like they're on board with us. This is a train moving, and they're getting on the train. So we weren't focused on all of our children, like stopping everything to see to every one of their needs and every their desires. I mean, we did that generally, but we felt like they're with us. And then when it came time for them to take over in their life, then we're with them, supporting them in what they're called to do. And is there other questions? We kind of run out of time here.
A really light question, and maybe I need to direct it to Nicole.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
One thing you said, Janet, was a con was that you were always, what their complaints were, you were always the first to be at church and the last to leave. And to me, that seems so small, like a small con, that, like, did it have lasting effect? I mean, like, there's something.
Yeah, I think the question was about first to come, last to leave from church. I think we would probably do some interventions of, like, send somebody home early, or one of us would go home early. Because when you're in leadership, you have at least two cars there. Sometimes when they're all driving, we had five cars there. You know what I mean? Like, so there was plenty of cars there, and they had friends to go with too. So I think to do that over, we would probably do more, or that would give them options. At least they could choose an option. Nicole, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would say it's less about the individual times and more about, like, the space for, like, unhealthy perspectives of church potentially to form,
right?
Because I always have to show up early. I always have to stay late, and I didn't volunteer for this. Like, those are the sorts of things.
So then instead of looking at the sacrifice, just saying, we get to serve in this way. It's an honor.
Yeah. Right, that's a good point to create the purpose. And yeah, maybe just it's an explanation to our children. This is why we're the first ones here. This is why we're the last ones here, because we care about these people. We love these people.
Yeah.
We're praying for them because they have challenges, and you know, they just got fired from their job last week. So we spent 20 minutes praying and encouraging that person. So I agree, that's a good solution from Nicole and Jess both, that giving purpose to why we're the first ones here, or, you know, not really the first, but, you know, that whole thing of, in general, you know.
And some of it's just giving away, like, letting them make choices so they don't feel like it's always, like, there's no, they don't have any teeth in the game, you know. One of the things that,
bring a book,
we did for quite a few years is we'd get to church and people would want to start talking to us right away. And so I used to give my bag and a couple things or whatever and say, go save us some seats. And so let the kids pick where we were going to sit that morning. And it was always the front row. Always, you know.
Really?
And but they wanted to be able to see. And so, you know, we would pick a different one, you know, each Sunday or whatever. And then they felt like they didn't have to stand there while we're talking to somebody, but they could take our stuff and go save a seat. And I felt like, you know what, I'll just swallow my pride here, and if the baby cries and I'm on the front row, the baby cries and I'm on the front row, you know. So those were just like little, you know, and then we didn't sit the same place every Sunday. I mean, like, we pretty much were in the front, but I mean, like, it varied, and that was they seemed to like that.
Or we would let them choose where to go for lunch within reason, or, you know what I mean, like, that would be part of our special time together because we stayed late. Hey, where do you guys want to go? Is it McDonald's or, you know, for pizza or whatnot?
One more question. Anybody have anything else you want to?
Anybody else have one?
Yeah.
So balancing kids and ministry, I feel, is already so huge. Like, kids are a huge responsibility. Ministry is a huge responsibility. But that's not the only aspects of our lives. We have our marriage. We have our own selves.
Yeah. So the question was to not only balancing kids and ministry, but also kids and ministry and marriage and vocation and neighborhood and, you know, cleaning the house and all of that.
Yeah,
cleaning
the house.
Do you want to go ahead or not?
Synergy
would be my first, you know,
I would
response,
say
but,
planning it out. If you look
intentional,
at if you being intentional, if you look at it, either of our calendars, we do keep calendars. If I don't write it down, it will probably be forgotten. And So that would also be putting in their time for us to get away, or, you know, having time with our extended families, planning. And so what is important you'll do, and what's, you know, but if you just let it to drift, it's probably not going to happen. And so that would...
Yeah, good point. Like taking control, taking authority over your schedule. Like we always did a vacation for us, the two of us, and a family vacation. You know, we put that in the books early.
And sometimes it was short. I mean, sometimes it was like two nights for the two of us. But yeah, I would say that is probably... Don't be afraid to plan. You can always cancel... Or, like, in this season, you know, there's times that I've had to say, like, let's put it on the calendar. I may have to adjust it. Because, like, I have a work schedule, and, you know, we have, well, Brian's dad just passed away, but we also have, my parents are getting older, and his mom is getting older, and so there's a lot of different variables. But still, that planning has been helpful.
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't have a perfect answer, but we can say that it is possible. We've done it. Other people are doing it, and, you know, so, I mean, I just want to give you that hope that there is a way forward. God is that big. He's big enough to love your kids. I was just praying. You all know my dad was sick and just recently passed away. I was praying a couple months ago, praying, you know, I'm like, God, don't you see, don't you see? And then he's like, wait. I love your dad more than you love him. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. You know, like, he's just like, I got this. He's in my hands. And I'm like, okay, so we're just going to let this unfold. And you know, so that all that energy, emotional energy I was putting into that, it was relaxed. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, we'll do the minimal, we'll do the essentials, and you know, God's in, you know, I don't want to say it tritely, but God is in charge. Like, he's awesome, and he's gonna, you know, he's concerned about our marriage as well as our children, as well as our adult children. So we pray for them, yeah, but God loves them even more than we do, and his hand is on their lives. And, you know, so yeah, good question. I appreciate that. Yeah, why don't we pray quick, and then we can,
that sounds good,
go for it.
Father, thank you so much just for each one of the people here, and just for this journey of parenthood and raising kids. And Lord, I thank you that you love our kids, that you care for each one. And Lord, I pray that they would hear from you, Lord, that they would have a fresh sense of how to pray for them, even what's priority to pray, and then also just resting. So, Lord, even in parenting, that your burden is easy and your load is light. And there's things that we want to see, but, Lord, may the things that you want to see in our children be the priority. And so, Lord, we submit to you as parents and just say, Lord, work in our kids. Love on them. Care for them. And, Lord, we pray that each one would just have a personal relationship with you that would grow deep and be not head knowledge, not barred from mom and dad, would be their own personal relationship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.